Okay, now we can start.
Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA. Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA.
Jordan Malley. Jordan, great to see you. Through our 670 score scope. Yep.
Where is he?
And it's right over there, Bill.
Did Matt Peck get a signed copy of that book?
No, Matt Peck, he didn't. No. Talk to D. Rose.
Yeah, you got it.
Matt, you will be getting your book soon.
Left side three. Remy. Got it!
Levine, turnaround jumper up. Get it!
Onions! Baby onions! Kobe White, put him in the Hall of Fame!
Locked On Bulls starts now.
You can just see the vibe.
Here are your hosts, Jordan Malley and Matt Peck.
What's up and welcome into Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I'm Jordan Malley, along with me is Matt Peck. Follow us on Twitter at Jordan C. Malley, at Bulls underscore Peck, and at Locked On Bulls. Hit us up on our text and voicemail line, 331-979-1369. Drop your text, your voicemails, anything you got for us at 331-979-1369. Without further ado, let's just get right back into our part two conversation with Will Perdue, four-time NBA champion, former NBA player, and now pre- and post-game TV analyst at NBC Sports Chicago. Haven't heard from Will in a, seems like a long time, but over the last couple of months, the last time we checked in with him was around, May or June, right after the Last Dance 10-part documentary series was released, and it was great catching up with Will. So here's part two of that conversation right now.
Couple of clutch free throws by Will Perdue.
The person running all of this, of course, is the new executive VP of basketball ops, Arturis Karnishevas. And, you know, Will, I think despite occasionally getting a little impatient with some of his decisions or not decisions, most notably the letting Boylan hang around until August when Bulls fans were tearing their hair out, for the most part, I think the fan base has been pleased with the decisions he's made so far because all of them signify a actual change. A change of course, a mentality shift, actually starting to build a new culture instead of just continually talking about culture and doing nothing about it. Now the focus, of course, shifts to the roster itself. There's not a whole lot of flexibility on the horizon in this offseason for the Bulls, much like a lot of teams, given the NBA salary cap situation. Obviously, you know, there's going to be some kind of new negotiated CBA because of this weird season we all just witnessed. And there won't be a lot of flexibility. AK does have a couple of decisions on deck with some people on this roster. You know, they have potential qualifying offers for names like Denzel Valentine, Chris Dunn, and Shaq Harrison. If you're AK, do you have a priority of bringing any or all of those guys back, or would you rather free up a little bit more money and see what you could find on the free agent market this summer or this offseason?
Yeah, I understand what you're saying this summer. Yeah, that's normally what it is.
Right.
Well, I know a lot of people are saying, well, you know, he really hasn't seen this guy play. I think you'd be surprised how much they know what this roster is, who these guys are, and what they offer, right? And I think it's not so much about should they bring these guys back. It's about, okay, what is the value that you assess for this individual? And not just a monetary value, but what is the value of this individual to this team? Can they or can they not help us win? If they can, then you turn around and you bring them back. And I think that, you know, probably the most polarizing of the three that you just mentioned was Chris Dunn. Here's the problem. Before the firing of Boylan and before the hiring of Donovan, I would have said that, you know, I think it's time for Chris Dunn to go. I think we know exactly who he is. That, in my opinion, hasn't changed. We know exactly what he can do, what he offers. But I think that it's just, you know, with the fan base and everything that's happened, it's probably best for him. And I say this as a former player, I think it's probably best for him to move on and start anew. But now we have a new head coach who's going to bring in a new system. I can't sit here and tell you exactly what that system is, but you start to wonder, you know, where does Chris Dunn fit into that picture? So in my opinion, you assign a financial value to him. And you decide is that value from a financial standpoint, because that value is basically what will somebody else pay him. And if you think somebody else will pay him more than what you're willing to pay, then you need to let him go, because then he's overpriced and not giving you the bang for the buck. And not that I don't want Chris Dunn to be here, but I think that's just the reality of it. And also, like you said, I think, you know, Shaq Harrison, I think we know exactly who he is. The guy that I don't think we know enough about yet because of the adversity he's faced here, most notably injury, number one. Two, you know, him being vocal about how he didn't appreciate how he was being used and how he did not have a relationship with, you know, Boylan. He's the one that I think that needs to be given more time, quite honestly. But again, the question is, at what cost, you know, financially? And does that hamstring them if you try to bring him back? That's why, as you just mentioned, I wouldn't necessarily want to be in Arturis' shoes, because he's got to make some really important decisions really quick. Because I think the one thing that we all will agree upon is that we have good young talent, but we feel like for this team to make the next step, that some changes, not huge changes, but some changes need to be made to this roster. And the question is, as you just mentioned, and, you know, in your question, there's not a lot of room, you know, there's not a lot of flexibility financially. So how do they go about making those necessary changes? And that, to me, seems like the only way at the moment is through the draft and through trades.
On Chris Dunn, too, I feel like, to a very lesser extent, it's sort of what they did with Zach LaVine when his contract was up and everybody was back and forth and very polarized on him, is, oh, don't spend all that money on him. And the Bulls basically said, hey, Zach, you go out and see what you can get, and if we feel like it's fair, we will match that. I feel like if the Bulls still want some time to decide on Dunn, they can do just that. If Dunn decides to deny the qualifying offer and is a restricted free agent, go test the market, they can do the same thing with Dunn. And I'll be honest with you, Will, me and Matt, before the Billy Donovan breaking news stopped a complete and utter blow up between Matt and I arguing back and forth about Chris Dunn this offseason. But does it say anything to you at all that Chris Dunn wasn't involved in any of these voluntary workouts / team bonding experiences, the chemistry that's being built in 3 weeks in this mini bubble? And also, too, I found it a little bit interesting that Mark Eversley said that Chris Dunn's health was the reason why he wasn't in minicamp, and was followed with the contract talk, and obviously he's not going to say anything about the contract, but said that he didn't feel like that was a reason why Dunn wasn't there. Fans can take that what it is, but do you feel like health is a factor for Chris Dunn coming back this year too? And maybe the mindset Chris Dunn has of, hey, I didn't have a great experience, I still think I can be a starter somewhere in this league, as opposed to making the decision that I just need to play a role and maybe that keeps my longevity here in the NBA. My question is, does the health / him not being at minicamp play in or for tell us anything about Dunn being here next season?
Well, I think you made a valid point with your question there, Jordan. Is that actually what's going on here? You know, there's a little trepidation from the fans about maybe trying to deflect a little bit, so don't put so much on, you know, Chris Dunn choosing not to be here. Maybe it is health. Maybe it's in his best interest from a health standpoint that, you know, he not be here for that 2 week period. Somewhat of a vague answer. Didn't get a lot, in my opinion, you know, enough to really make an educated decision, quite honestly. I will say this from the Chris Dunn that I know, and I don't know him personally, but just in the brief conversations I've had with him and many of the interviews that he's done, I think he believes he's a starter in this league. I don't have a problem with that. I think on the right team, he is a starter, but I don't think he's a starter on this team. I think he could play a valuable role because of what he can do defensively. But the question is, can he mentally adapt to what it is that the Bulls would want him to do and Billy Donovan would want him to do? And could he flourish in that role, or would he push back in the sense that, hey, no, I'm a starter? Well, maybe you need to go somewhere else to really find out if you truly are or not. And I think you hit it on the head, Jordan, as far as, you know, all these guys you just mentioned, I think quite honestly, the Bulls will be like, hey, go out and find out what your value is, because we're no longer going to overpay guys. We're going to let you test yourself on the free market and see what you can get. And then if we want to match, we'll match. Because that's where I say, you know, there's somewhere Arturas and Mark Eversley, you know, in a vault somewhere, is a value assigned to every one of these guys. What their financial value, what their dollar amount is, what their worth is to the team, and how they figure into the future of this team. But yet at the same time, you put some of that into the hands of the player and allow that player to kind of make that decision. Not necessarily make that decision verbally, but how they play and what they can get on the free market.
We'll get back to more conversation with Will Perdue in just a second, but want to let you guys know about our fantastic sponsors in Built Go. You may know them from Built Bar. It's a new product sponsored by Built Bar called Built Go. Whether it's a mental or physical wall, break through it with Go every day. Easy to take in 1.5 ounce packages. Put it in your briefcase for the most focused presentation ever. Maybe you want to stick it in your golf bag to power through the back nine, or put it in your back pocket to get through the day. Built Go is the best workout gel on the market. It's 5 hour energy without the same crash feeling. Plus, it's natural, so it's better for the body. This is more true than ever. I used to live and breathe off of 5 hour energies, and anybody out there who has done that, overstimulate yourself with caffeine, you follow with a horrible headache, following with a crashing feeling, making you not want to do anything the following day. This gives you that same feeling without those horrible side effects the next day. It's like drinking a Monster energy drink with a third of the caffeine and better results. It comes in three delicious flavors: peanut butter, honey, chocolate coconut, and chocolate milk. Built Go combines energy gel with a collagen protein. Collagen protein is fast absorbing, so it gets into your system fast, plus it's easy on the stomach. Built Go is loaded with good stuff to ignite your workout: beta alanine, B3, honey, and kick of caffeine. Built Go then keeps you going strong with B6 and B12. 10,000% of your daily suggested intake of B12. Visit builtgo.com and use promo code LOCKED, and you'll get 30% off your next order. That's promo code LOCKED for 30% off at builtgo.com. Let's go.
Today's episode of Locked On Bulls is brought to you in part by DoorDash. Between never-ending laundry cycles, constant work emails, you've got plenty on your to-do list. Give yourself one less thing to worry about and let DoorDash take care of your next meal. Maybe you're getting ready to watch a game tonight, MLB playoffs, we've got NFL football, a couple games of the NBA finals left. Why not order dinner with DoorDash? Continue supporting the restaurants in your community and safely. Thousands of restaurants open for delivery on DoorDash that need your patronage now more than ever. And DoorDash is the app that brings their food to you, whatever you're craving right now, to your door. With over 300,000 partners in the U.S., Puerto Rico, Canada, and Australia, you can support your local go-tos or choose from your favorite national restaurants like Chipotle, Wendy's, even the Cheesecake Factory. Right now, our listeners can get $5 off and zero delivery fees on their first order of $15 or more when they download the DoorDash app and enter promo code LOCKEDONNBA. That's $5 off and zero delivery fees on your first order when you download the DoorDash app in the App Store and enter promo code LOCKEDONNBA. One more time, don't forget, that's LOCKEDONNBA for $5 off your first order with DoorDash.
I can have some sympathy, too, for Chris Dunn and thinking about his timeline as far as since the day he was drafted with the Timberwolves to the point we're at right now. Inconsistencies followed by a lot of peaks and valleys throughout his short career in the NBA, but still being drafted fifth overall, still having the mentality and the mindset of, I haven't played consistently throughout any of these seasons, I still feel like I can be a starter. I can respect that too. And maybe even the front office too feels like, we know we have to repair the relationship to some extent with Chris Dunn and how he's been dealt with, or the things that have been said about him and his game here. We understand we have to rebuild that if we want to bring him back. And I 100% agree with you that there is a role that would fit Chris Dunn perfectly on this Bulls team, but can also understand the fact that, hey, there's two other point guards here that not only the Bulls feel like are going to be a part of their future, but you're also paying a lot of money to fill a decent amount of minutes at the guard position. So for Dunn, I feel like it's going to be more about a decision he needs to make for himself about whether he believes he's a starter and he still wants to chase that dream, or for the betterment and the longevity of his career, does he feel like taking that role on with the Bulls like he had last year, and maybe even to a more of an extent with Billy Donovan being more involved, him being better off by signing that deal. I think that's a decision more on Dunn than it is on the Bulls this offseason. The other player, before we go to the draft, Will, I wanted to ask you about was Otto Porter Jr., because Mark Eversley said in a very nice way that one thing that contributed to Otto Porter Jr.'s injury last year was coming into camp a little bit heavier than normal, what he's used to. He remembers Otto from his Wizards days, mentioned that throughout, and said he felt like that was part of the reason why Otto had an injury early on and was a contributing factor to that. I guess I was just surprised by the fact that Otto came into camp a little bit out of shape. As a Bulls fan, that would frustrate me. He says that Otto looks good this year. What do you think Otto needs to do to either maintain a role here in the future with the Bulls, or what do you need to expect or see out of Otto to convince yourself that he should stay here long term?
Well, I need to see a guy that can stay healthy. I need to see a guy that we can count on a nightly basis. I understand missing a game periodically for rest. That's just, I have to mentally accept that's just what the league is, and that's the approach they take. Okay? But I also need to see a guy that can live up to the contract per se, but also, again, I don't think he, you know, will be able to live up, what is it, $27 million that they're going to be paying him for the next season?
Correct.
Because of where he'll be in the pecking order as far as what's being required of him. But maybe he's that guy, as we started the podcast out, that can provide that necessary leadership in the locker room, on the floor. But that, first and foremost, requires him to be healthy, because players have a tendency to tune out guys that are not healthy, that aren't playing, because they have a tendency to look at that guy just like, you know, hey, you're not out there with us every night. Don't sit here and, you know, chirp in my ear. You know, if you can get out there with us, I'll listen. And I know that's petty, but that's just the way guys are sometimes, you know, in the heat of the battle. But I think that, you know, we've seen enough, and that's the hard part, is we've seen enough to know what he can do, what he can contribute. But what we don't know is, can he stay healthy throughout an 82-game season to where he contributes enough to where we feel comfortable, you know, with him being here in the long term. And that's what we don't know, because of the amount of games that he's missed in his short tenure in Chicago.
Will, you watch a lot of college basketball as well. You do color commentary for College Hoops. Of course, you know, the 2019-20 college season got cut short. No tournament this year. That's where a lot of people really start to pay attention to some of the big names in the upcoming NBA draft. Before we get to your thoughts on maybe a couple of specific names, I know you guys talked about a couple in your post-lottery show for NBC Sports Chicago earlier this summer. I was curious just to get your thoughts on how different and perhaps more challenging that the draft evaluation process will be for organizations this time around. You know, we've already had the draft date pushed back once. Now it's scheduled for tentatively November 18th, I want to say. So about a month and a week or so from now, with the way that they've changed and reduced the NBA draft combine, with the limited number of games we saw from the college players here in the States, what other challenges do you think that AK and his evaluation staff, his scouting staff, will be facing? Do you think that this will be a once-in-a-lifetime, odd and difficult-to-predict draft class just based on the pandemic world that we're all living in?
I don't think so. I mean, I think that, you know, from Arturas's record going back to Denver, I think this is a guy that has been deeply involved for a couple years now, in the sense that, yes, these guys would love to bring players in and run them through individual workouts. So I think that more than any other year, there's probably those Zoom interviews, there's going to be a little more weight put on those interviews. So what does that require? Asking the right questions. Figuring out the personality of that individual. Because at the end of the day, you can go, there's still plenty of film out there for these guys to go back and watch these guys play games. Okay. All colleges, you know, film practice. They can go and get video practice. You know, you can listen. If I was a player coming out of college right now, knowing, you know, what I know, I would make myself a workout video. I would call every single team, you know, that I feel like where I'm going to be drafted, and this relies heavily on agents too. Hey, what is it that you're looking for? What is it you think about my client? What is it you need to see? And then have these guys do individual workouts and film them. You know, when I used to work, for Arntellum, in Wasserman Media Group, when we used to get guys ready for workouts, I used to pick up the phone and call general managers and call coaches and be like, hey, I know what I think you need from a personnel standpoint, but what are you looking for in that particular individual, whether it's a small forward, a guard, a center? And we would start working with these guys to try to improve those specific aspects of their game so that when they would do their individual workouts, they would shine. Well, you can still do the same thing now. You just got to do it via video. And you reach out to Arturis. You reach out to Mark Eversley. You reach out to Billy Donovan and be like, hey, you know, what is it that you think you guys need? And apparently, you know, you're interested in my player because you've done a Zoom call with him. You've done personal interviews. You've asked for game tape from the colleges or their, national teams, whatever it may be. Let me know what you need. I'll put our guy through a workout and I'll show you exactly what you need. This is still, in my opinion, is a two-way street. It relies just as much on the player as it does on the organization. I feel that would almost be necessary so you're truly doing your due diligence and not just throwing caution to the wind. I mean, in my opinion, it still relies, you know, heavily on the player as much as it does on the organization. Because, you know, you do need to get all your questions answered regardless of the method that you need to go about doing it. It's just now it's more unorthodox than it has been in the past.
I think that's a good point, and I think you can get even really creative with it too. And I don't know how this factors into any of the NBA's actual rules and if it would be a part of violations before the draft or anything, but like even thinking about like having a live stream, like if teams didn't want just a cut up of your best mixtape and not being able to see some of those natural flaws, why not do a 2-hour or 1-hour workout live stream for any GM or any scout or any team that wants to see you live for an hour straight, whether you're making every shot or missing every shot. I think that's a really good point, especially for some guys that are opting out of the NBA combine as a whole. I wanted to ask you a two-parter here. First on the combine, and I didn't even get Matt's thoughts on this, but some of the top guys are opting not to go to the NBA combine this year, and in past years we've thought, well, that's a little curious. Why is that guy not showing up to the combine? Is it because he's got a team promise from somebody? Do you feel like we're going to see a spike in teams promising draft spots to certain players this season, or is it the opposite, where guys are just opting out because they don't want to either hurt their stock this year or they're not sure for health reasons that they want to show up to a combine? Or do you feel like teams are offering players that they got some type of film on, some type of degree of understanding that that's the guy we want, saying, hey, you know what, we're going to take you if, say, you're available at 13 or 15 or 20. For that reason, do you feel like that's why there's a lot of top prospects opting out of the draft combine?
I think it's a little bit of both, quite honestly, Jordan, because, you know, if I'm a player, whether I'm Anthony Edwards, LaMelo Ball, Wiseman, I'd be wanting to prove to these guys why you want to draft me. I don't necessarily want to hide in the shadows and say, hey, you know enough about me. You know, because what's the most dangerous word when it comes to the NBA draft? Potential. Because when you have potential, then all the pressure, for the most part, is put on the organization to draft you because you have that potential. Now they need to develop that potential. But I also feel like there should be more responsibility put on players to help develop that potential, you know, and stop focusing so much on the organization. Listen, there's promises made every year to players. about, hey, if you're there, we're going to draft you. But I also know for a fact those promises are broken on draft day, because a lot of times teams make promises to guys, and then all of a sudden when they get to that, as you just pointed out, the 12th pick, the 13th pick, the 14th pick, the 5th pick, yeah, that guy's still there that they made a promise to, but somebody else is still there that they actually think highly of, more so than the guy they made a promise to, and they basically just say, hey, man, sorry, didn't know player X was going to be available, and that's the guy we really wanted. And I apologize. Please don't take it personally, but we have to do what's best for the organization. I think there's some players that have some flaws that don't want to be exposed, so they don't want to go to the combine, you know, whatever the reason may be. There are some that may have some, you know, health conditions that don't want to be put in that situation until there's a vaccine. I think that that number is very small. And I think that it's, you know, of the three, also some teams know exactly who they want, who they feel will fit exactly into their organization and what it is they want. And that player or that agent is perfectly fine and trustworthy of that promise. You know, I think this also tells you, and this is my opinion, you know, you're supposed to listen to your agent. That's what you pay your agent for. But at the same time, as a player, wouldn't you want that opportunity to go out there to compete and prove to not only the teams, but the fans, because people can watch these workouts on NBA TV and watch these games and these combines. This is who I am. This is what I stand for. And this is what I believe in.
Will, before we let you go, you know, we heard Arturas and Eversley both, I think, talk about expectations. Even Billy Donovan was asked about it right off the bat when he did his first media availability circuit upon taking the job, because this was a team that, you know, I think it was just a couple of days ago was the one-year anniversary of the 2019-20 media day, beginning of the season, where John Paxson and Jim Boylan both talked about playoffs as the goal. And then throughout the season, Jim Boylan in particular started to move those goalposts as the team was falling well short of that goal they set for themselves. We've heard Donovan say, you know, to me, it's not necessarily about here XYZ is the goal and playoffs are the goal. I just have always focused on how do we as a team get better every day. And Arturas didn't necessarily say anything about, you know, we're going to set a goal to become a playoff team, although he did also say this, in my opinion, was a more talented roster than a 22-win team. So what do you think should be the goals, if any, specifically? Or are you fine with them and Donovan saying, hey, let's just try to get better every day, and then hopefully whenever it is that we have this 2021 NBA season, we can look back and say we've had the opportunity to evaluate our young roster over the course of a season to figure out where we go from here, and hopefully it led to some more wins, but we don't necessarily need to shoehorn ourselves into a corner of playoffs or else right out of the gate. What are your expectations for this team? What do you think they should set for themselves as expectations for this team in the upcoming NBA season?
Well, I think first and foremost, the expectation should be improvement over last year. Now, I know that's not saying much, but I think I have a tendency to kind of lean more towards Billy Donovan. I want to see improvement on a nightly basis. How are they winning and losing games? Do we actually see players getting better? Because I feel like if we can answer yes to those questions, then this is a playoff team. But I think it's a little premature to sit here and say, okay, we're going to set the playoffs as a goal. I think that should be an unwritten rule. Why do we have to vocalize that? I know last year I wanted to hear that. I was happy to hear that because I felt like they were hiding in the shadows of development. And unfortunately, that really didn't pan out. You know, maybe instead of development, maybe hiding in the shadows of patient, just be patient. We all know fans are not patient. Okay. Analysts are not patient. The outsiders sure hell aren't patient.
I don't know what you're talking about. We here on Locked On Bulls and my guys at Outsiders, we are totally patient. Right, Jordan?
Yeah, all we got is patience. Right.
Hey, I was telling everybody that I could. I was telling everybody I could find that the Bulls weren't going to be a playoff team last year. Nobody wanted to listen to me.
But I think that that's, you know, I don't think we use 22 games as a measuring stick. I think what we need to do is really look at this team as, and I think the eye test this year should be more important than anything. I know it's an age of analytics, but I think we really need to go back to old school and the eye test. Is Zach LaVine getting better? Is Lowry Marketing getting better? Is, throw a name out, you know, is Wendell Carter getting better? I mean, what are we seeing here from a team? I think that, you know, that's what our expectations should be. And then I think we should also be allowed to adjust our expectations, you know, after different blocks. You say 82 games, how are we looking after 25? How are we looking after 50? You know, have we seen an improvement? I personally feel like there quite possibly could be a personnel trade that could make this team better in the long run. I don't know what that is, but I think all options are on the table. So that's why I think that, you know, for us to sit here and have expectations on this team would be a little unrealistic from a wins-losses standpoint, because I feel like right now there's not a player on this roster that's untouchable. I think that because of what we've seen from Arturas and Mark, that if there's a trade that can be made that they feel like will help this team get better in the long run, I think they'll make it, even if it means they have to take a step back in the short run, which quite honestly would be very disappointing for the fans because that would affect wins and losses. But I think it's just we need to evaluate not only the team from a personnel standpoint, but the coaching staff from the moves that they're making and how the team is getting better, but also Arturas and Mark Eversley, what they're doing in order to continue to move this train forward, not just, okay, this is what we've done over the last 3 months, we're going to hold pat and, you know, stay here. I just don't think that they're going to be taking that approach any longer.
All right, Will, we appreciate how generous you have been with your time, as always. It's always great to chat hoops with you. One last thing real quick. I'm not sure if you saw the news in the Trib over the weekend, but Jim Boylan's River North condo has officially been listed and is on the market. Only a cool $529K. I was wondering, maybe, like, can you help me, you know, with a loan or maybe co-sign that for me? I would love to buy that condo and just, you know, like, pull a Phil Jackson and walk through it with, like, you know, burning some sage, just trying to, like, fully and completely exercise the Jim Boylan demons. Can you help me out with a loan so I can buy Jim Boylan's condo? Plus, it's in River North. It would make the commute shorter. We could share the condo if you want. What do you think?
Well, on one hand, I would say yes. But on the other hand, I'm going to say no because of two things. One, the original unit that he bought in that complex sold for less than he bought it for. And he's already put this house on the market for less than he bought it for. And I have a feeling that right now the values of property in the city, whether it's River North, wherever it may be, are not holding strong. So I'm not sure if this maybe long-term would be a good investment, but because of your youth, I just don't know if we can, you know, if the reliability of you being there long-term, if I can trust that commitment or not.
All right, well, then how about we just pose as very interested potential buyers so that I can go through there with burning some sage real quick? How about that plan?
Well, I'm sure if you call the realtor,
I can't get into that open house without you, Will. Come on.
that I can stand behind you on. I can definitely help you out with that. But my only question after that is it really sage you're burning or something else? Because we know exactly what sage smells like.
Oh, sage and only sage. Come on, man. I don't smoke that wacky tobacco like those crazy kids.
Okay.
Oh, I mean, and Phil Jackson didn't, right?
Listen, man, I'm just glad that they didn't test the coaches back then.
Oh, we'll end it there. What a weird spot to end it, but I feel like that's appropriate. Just a reminder to follow Will Perdue, the one and only, on Twitter at Will_Perdue32. And hopefully,
hey Matt, I have one last question for you. I don't mean to interrupt.
Go ahead.
But you know, the one thing I've learned, and not trying to butter you up or anything, you know, the time that we have spent together, I've learned about your passion that you have for the Bulls, and your the homework that you put in, you know, to learning about this team and the game of basketball. But at the end of the day, you're a fan.
Right.
So I want to know, you know, Jordan asked me the question and you asked the question about expectations. I want to know from you, what is an honest fan expectation for this upcoming season, whenever that may be?
Well, it's fair to want to also know my answer to that question, and I appreciate it. I mean, the reason that I am as diehard of a fan as I am, and the reason that I do my homework and have for my entire life of Bulls fandom is because of the team that you were on that made me fall in love with the sport of basketball and the Chicago Bulls. So, you know, credit right back in your direction, big guy. But I'm fine if there is no be-all, end-all playoffs or the goal. And I agree with you. For every NBA team, that should be the goal every season. And, of course, you know, we have this new lottery and tanking and all this problem that sometimes teams come into a season knowing that they're not realistically going to compete for a playoff spot. But with a competent coach who's proven that he got to the Western Conference playoffs in five straight seasons, with as competitive as that conference is, and the fact that he and our new executives have said this is a more talented team than the number of wins they compiled this previous season, I do think there is a possible sizable jump in wins, but one that could still end up being short of a postseason berth in the upcoming season. Even if that's the case, I'll be fine with it. As just as you said, there's visible evidence of improvement, both as the players, as individuals, and as a team, holistically, with also establishing a style of play and one that actually plays to the strengths of these players, as opposed to trying to, smash square pegs into round holes like Jim Boylan was doing. I mean, I don't know. Jordan, do you feel kind of the same way as far as expectations from a fan's perspective?
100%. And I think that the fan base can even be a little bit more patient, have some more patience with this rebuild if it's going to take a couple more years than we thought initially. I think the team as a whole in 2020 has bought a lot of, I guess, a lot of goodwill with the fan base because they made a change at coach, because they made changes at the front office, and they're actively trying to get back to a winning culture. I think the transparency and the honesty, too, from the front office, from the GM, and from even from Billy Donovan, the one time we've heard him speak this year, has been very, very refreshing. And I would hope, along with a lot of the other fans out there, that this buys them a little bit of goodwill and maybe a little bit of patience if it's going to take more than just a couple of years to turn this around night and day.
That, I mean, is that about what you would expect? Or, Will, do you think that part of this fan base will be too impatient with this new front office and a new coach?
Well, I think they owe it to Arturis and Mark to be and I don't like saying this word patient, because listen, it's not cheap to go to Bulls games. You're making an investment, but not monetarily, but also in time to go to these games. So, you know, the one thing I learned last year when we used to sit at these games and watch when we were doing parts of our show, you know, from the United Center, the fans were having a hard time justifying not only spending the money, but the time to come to games, to watch what they thought at times was an unwatchable product. And if you can change that to where when you come to a game, there is excitement, not only about the team on the floor, but the future. You feel like the organization is doing what's in the best interest of the team to try to make them better. I think the fans can deal with that. I ran into somebody the other day that said, hey, can somebody please tell me what my $54,000 is doing? Because I'm not going to any games. And, you know, I haven't been given that money back yet, but I'm just like, I think that, you know, you might want to hold on to those season tickets, because if we keep going in this direction, and it's baby steps, not leaps and bounds, baby steps, that these tickets will then be again in demand. And I think, Jordan, you put it very well when you said, because of the teams in Chicago, the Cubs, the White Sox, the Blackhawks, the Bulls, you don't want to be that team that people forget about. The Fire, you want to be that team that's leading the charge, not the team that's following the charge. And I think that we've seen the commitment of the White Sox You know, it was a great playoff. You know, yeah, we didn't like the fact they lost to the A's in three games, but the fact they made it to the playoffs ahead of schedule. You know, the Cubs are going to make some changes. They were in the postseason. The Blackhawks. So, you know, that's what the fans expect. That's what they want. But at the same time, they want to walk out of an arena after a loss feeling like that team did everything they could to win a game. And I think too many times fans were walking out of the arena, out of the United Center, feeling like that wasn't, you know, why am I coming to these games if I don't feel like they're actually trying to win all the time? And I think that's where we kind of have to change that culture a little bit, or should we say change that perception? And I think that they've already done that.
Yeah. And I think that's true for fans who, you know, spent their hard-earned money to go to the United Center this past season. And even those who spent their hard-earned money on some kind of cable or other subscription of streaming to watch their favorite team, the Bulls, play at home. You know, the number of just like sighs and shakes of the head from all of us at the green room this past season. I mean, you know, I would show up some nights saying, God, I can't believe I have to watch this team again. Why am I watching this team? And being someone who covers the team, let alone being a fan, that is not the mentality that you want to have. But I think that, you know, the turnover in the front office, which was overdue, certainly, you know, reinvigorated the fan base. I think it brought some fans back that had said, you know, not another dime, not another minute of my day until real changes are made. And I think for the most part, that optimism has continued with the Billy Donovan hire. And hopefully, you know, we look forward to some more changes in a positive direction and finally building some quality culture here moving forward. Will, thank you so much, man. It is always a pleasure to chat with you. And I look forward to the first time in a long time when I can show up to the studio with your Uptown salad from Potbelly's next to the studio. And we can, you know, chat hoops while we share a meal together, because it feels like it's been far too long.
It has been way too long, my friend. And I do look forward to it myself and getting Kendall back on that pizza train.
Please, God, he looks far too ripped. We've got to start feeding him the greasy pizza and those snacks from the vending machine. He can't stay away from those vending machine snacks. We just got to get back in the studio so we can get Kendall back up to the way where he should be as a retired player, instead of making us all feel bad about ourselves.
Either that, or maybe have him pee in a cup just to answer all our questions.
Appreciate it. And by the way, if y'all didn't go check out the episode of Sharp Shooters, which is a fairly new podcast that our friend Mark Shinowski is doing with David Schuster. Mr. Perdue was recently a guest on their podcast, and it was a thoroughly enjoyable conversation. So go listen to that if you haven't already, and follow Will on Twitter for some great basketball takes. Will, be well. Tell your missus that I said hi and extend my best to her and your whole family. Continue to stay safe, and hopefully we will see each other soon.
Well, I look forward to it, my man. I appreciate the time. I appreciate you allowing me to come back on for a second opportunity. That means a lot to me, so I must have done a halfway decent job the first time.
Hey, man, Bulls fans love you. They love that you speak the truth and nothing but the truth. So as long as you're doing that, you will be a welcome guest on this podcast anytime.
Thank you, sir.
Well, that's going to about do it here on Locked On Bulls. Thank you again to Will Perdue for jumping on the show and spending as much time as he did. Believe me, he didn't need to spend over an hour and 20, hour and 30 minutes with us, but he was willing, and we got a lot of great things out of that conversation with him, from the draft to expectations to what he thought about the coaching hire and all so much more. If you guys got questions, comments on anything throughout this entire interview, or maybe some questions about last week that you have and they're burning on your mind right now, hit us up at 331-979-1369. You can tweet at us at Locked On Bulls, at Jordan C. Malley, and at Bulls_Peck. Again, thanks to Will Perdue for jumping on the show. You can follow him on Twitter at Will_Perdue32 on Twitter. Check him out once the Bulls come back, and I'm sure they're going to do some type of live NBA draft show when that's coming up in November. Check him out on the Bulls Talk podcast too on NBC Sports Chicago. He was fantastic. Again, thanks to Will for coming on and spending as much time as he did with us today. For Matt Peck, I'm Jordan Malley. Bulls Nation, have a wonderful day. Hopefully you enjoyed these two episodes you got today. We'll be back tomorrow with a fresh episode. For Jordan and Matt, we are out. Deuces.
Locked On Bulls, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA. Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA. For more content and to stay up to date, head over to LockedOnBulls.com